The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Kryptonaut Podcast. My name is Mark Storrs, and with me, hanging out, as always, Robert Thomas Morphy II.
I'm over here.
What is happening?
I'm just being here.
UAPs everywhere.
Staring at the skies. Dick on my thighs.
Is your bunker ready?
No, not yet. But I do have a lot of canned goods that are ready to be moved down.
Hurt.
Once I dig it and put the top on.
It was quite a busy weekend over the U.S. skies.
It was nuts.
And also Alaska and Yukon.
North American skies.
Yeah, North American skies. I'm sorry, not Yukon, the Yukon.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened. We are going to cover a little bit of it on Patreon, but right now we're just going to put it out there that, yes, this is really weird and terribly managed by the U.S. government.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. The results were, if you want to cause a panic in people that are already predisposed to batshit crazy stuff like us, for example,
yep.
Fucking prime job. Well played, sir. Because we're fucking idiots. You can't just say we're not going to deny that it's alien stuff. What we're used to the U.S. government doing is saying, oh, yeah, it was little green men. We don't know what nation it was. Clearly, it's from Earth. And instead, you got like the head of NORAD, General Van Rickenbacker, or whatever the fuck his name was, Gary Chilson. I'm just making up names at this point, going like, I'm not ruling anything out. Could have been from Venus, could have been from Mars, might have been a man, might have been a woman, who knows? It's like, dudes, stop that, because we know better. They're fucking balloons. It's a party that got out of control. We all know it's nothing special, but deep in my heart, I want it to be. I want this to be disclosure, but we know better.
No, the damage control was pretty bad. The information being put out was pretty bad. And on Super Bowl Sunday, they decided to shoot one down over Lake Huron.
Yes.
Is that how you say it? Huron?
Huron.
Huron.
I guess. I can't say the bird. Don't expect me to say the similarly sounding lake.
Yeah, so they decided to do that on Super Bowl Sunday, which I thought was interesting. Because
along those lines, that's what had me worried most of all. Like I say, I know we're going to break it down a little more on Patreon, but if there's one day when Americans are even fatter and drunker than usual, and we are a fat, drunk population,
yeah.
It is fucking Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a weird array of balloons filled with, I don't know, anthrax and dream killers and killer bees and whatever, then that's the day to do it.
And this all did stem from the Chinese spy balloon that was shot off the coast of
North Carolina. The one thing we
100%
know what it was.
Yeah, and now all of a sudden they're like, there's hexagons and we don't know the propulsion.
Small automobiles, cylinders in the Yukon.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I think ultimately, and again, we're going to cover this more on, we've already covered it on Patreon, but we'll be talking about it there. Spycraft. You know, basically, it's what's more concerning about that, though, is like, all right, man, they've been in our airspace for a while, apparently. So,
yeah, we weren't looking for balloons.
Yeah.
But when things drift, I mean, unless they've got some weird way of maneuvering it, you know, drone-y, like, who knows, then they just, you're going to see what you see. And you won't necessarily see anything that damning.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, we've certainly done the same things. And what I guess I'll say about this is yesterday was a lot more interesting when they wouldn't deny it was aliens and they were saying, like, pilots couldn't identify propulsion. And today when they're saying it's pretty much not aliens and they're just glorified balloons, I was like, fuck, I knew it.
Yeah, we're going to dig into it a little bit
more. But on the other hand, it's not like the government's never lied.
Oh, government lying. Oh,
just,
man.
I know, be forewarned, all of us that are into this 14 stuff, Ancient Aliens and other shows like that are going to be sucking from this teat for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Sound clips and fucking bits and what it really was and what it wasn't, but what Giorgio Tsoukalos claims it should have been, but it didn't pan out. This is going to be fucking something that is going to be fuel for the ufological fire, especially the pandering pop culture part for many years to come.
We confirmed blimps, dude.
Confirmed the blimp.
We confirmed blimps. There is Robert. This week we are talking. Now, this is interesting because I have heard a little bit about this. I've seen some art. Mm-hmm. We had some listeners contact us about this. So this is interesting. We're talking about Womack Weirdos Part 1. Oh, two-parter. The Anti-Demon Brigade.
Indeed.
Oh, let's get started. Within the mid-1970s, a man driving through a rural region of Alabama would find himself thrust into one of the most psychedelic alien abduction episodes ever recorded, one which involved liquid light, an extraordinary ensemble of extraterrestrial entities, a conversation one might concoct while tripping balls, and a celestial conflict between these alien beings and their sworn enemies, the ultimate evil in the universe. Demons.
Fucking demons.
We got aliens and demons, dude. This is complete hell or space. I need this right now, Robert. Let's do this.
Let's do this. And of course, a shout, Cole, fucking our researcher, Cole Harold, the guy who puts together so many great stories for us. Had a nice conversation with him today. Thank you again, Cole. Moving on. In the already unique realm of the alien abduction, there are moments when one comes across an account that is so bizarre, so batshit crazy, that the phrase high strangeness seems unable to fully express the mind-bending wonders experienced by those involved. The alleged abduction of a man named John Womack is a case in point. While there doesn't seem to be much information out there regarding the contactee himself, save for the fact that he was evidently an adult male with a driver's license, that's what you got. Hey.
Cool. Does he like balloons?
Probably.
All right.
Who doesn't?
Come to the party, buddy.
His experience ranks as one of the oddest in the already weird world of ufology and seems to indicate that there are species currently traversing the galaxy with a quote-unquote humanitarian agenda and a burning desire to learn all that they can about the cosmos. Sometime in April of 1975, John Womack was driving down a bumpy gravel road at the base of Ryan Mountain in northern Alabama in a region known as the Tennessee Valley, which served as the drainage basin of the Tennessee River. So it goes through a bunch of states, obviously, mostly Tennessee. Such environs would seem suitable to a hulking vine-smothered swamp monster or scaly serpentine river beast, but Womack would have problems with no such prosaic earthbound critters. The entities he was destined to encounter would be immeasurably stranger and hail from destinations infinitely further away.
He got denied Swamp Thing?
Got denied the Swamp Thing.
What a bummer.
And the Man Thing. Double denial.
Oh, the Swamp and the Man, the Thing. Yeah.
Swiping whichever direction is no, I don't know. I don't do that. On the evening in question, John was driving slowly through the isolated area to destinations unknown when he was stunned by the sudden appearance of a fireball nearly 3 feet in diameter that abruptly dropped out of the sky and scorched through some overhanging branches before landing on the road just 25 feet in front of his vehicle. Amazingly, once it hit the ground, the flaming object began rolling up the gravel road with John in hot, or at least tepid, pursuit, going pretty slowly. As the passage twisted and turned, John marveled at the fact that the flaming object always remained in the center of the road, even when crossing a narrow bridge, as if it was either sentient or being remotely controlled. John watched in wide-eyed wonder as the fireball suddenly stopped just 100 feet after the bridge, then proceeded to make a 90-degree turn to the left before rolling into a nearby meadow which ran along the creek which the bridge had traversed. Fascinated by this flaming phenomenon, John pulled over and got out of his car in order to better see the burning orb wander seemingly aimlessly through the field. So, fireball drops, like, right in front of your shit.
And then just kind of, like, meanders.
And then drives, and you're following it. Like, drives, takes a left, a right, over a bridge to grandmother's house, we fucking go. Then suddenly hooks into a field, and you're like, well, fucked if I know. Ball lightning. Let's see what happens.
Let's just see where it goes, and hopefully it doesn't burn the field down.
With John so far, with John so far I am, says Yoda, but I'm with John so far is what I mean to say.
No, I mean, it's there. You got to investigate.
You got to stop and look. I mean, the flaming ball turned left, and now it's roaming the field.
Keep a good distance.
It could be like a hyper will-o'-the-wisp, or who knows?
Yeah, batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm. Then, without warning, the until then silent object made a roaring sound not unlike that of a blowtorch before suddenly shooting skyward, soaring over the surrounding forest, and disappearing to his left. John stared up in frank astonishment, trying to puzzle together what it was that he had witnessed, but before he could get a handle on the origin of the fireball, a new mystery presented itself. At first, the hissing noise was abruptly replaced by a low humming sound. Frantically searching the skies for its source, John would, to his eternal chagrin, lock eyes on an object that seemed to fly off of the silver screen and into the real world. Hovering approximately 350 feet above the ground before him was a massive, silvery, disc-like craft with what appeared to be a shallow upper and lower dome. So, the double dome saucer.
That's my favorite saucer.
Absolutely. The object was about 150 feet in diameter and nearly 50 feet thick at the center, which makes it extraordinarily dense. Like, yeah, a super wide, like you would think, like 20 feet in the center. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe more than that. But still, like a third of it is height and it's triple distance, like 50 to 150.
That's a thick boy right there.
Yeah, it is.
Damn.
Really, though. God, especially damn. With shallow domes.
Yeah.
Those are some pretty big shallow domes, yo.
They got nice sand. Nice domes, yo.
Yo. Hey, bro. Nice domes.
Fucking sick domes, dog.
Yes. So, thickness. Stranger still, the hovering craft seemed to be surrounded by a bluish-yellow glow that extended several feet out from the vessel. In the blink of an eye, the UFO, which began to whine like a turbine, dropped nearly 250 feet, now hovering just 100 feet above the meadow, where it remained motionless as John stood and stared for what he claimed was only 2 minutes, but what must surely have felt like 2 hours. It was at that moment that the craft unleashed a brilliant column of light that was several feet thick and instantly gave the eyewitness chills running up and down his spine. John watched as this tube of light, in defiance of all known laws of physics except those associated with UFOs, did not instantly connect with the ground beneath, but seemed to slowly creep downwards. Even more bizarrely, the moment the illumination touched the ground, it seemed to expand and ooze over the surface like a liquid fog, creeping ever closer to the road. Perhaps it was this sudden breach in logic that made John's attitude go from curiosity to fear. But whatever marked this change, the observer decided that he had had enough of this ostensibly alien display and began retreating back to the driver's side door of his car. His retreat, however, would be short-lived. Before John could reach the car and escape the eerily seeping light show, he was overcome with an ear-piercing whistling sound. Then, just as suddenly as it began, the shrill whistling ceased, and with it the progress of the misty, oozing light, which John was, understandably, beginning to suspect wasn't light at all, but a substance that was absolutely foreign to him and his experience. This reprieve would prove to be a brief one, as the silver saucer then began to descend as if it were riding down on the incandescent column. Now more convinced than ever that it was in his best interest to leave the scene, John's progress was once again impeded, but this time by a light of a different sort. He turned and reached again for his car door, but he was suddenly hit in the face by a beam of bright red light, at which point everything went black.
Oh, no, the light, the fucking beam weapon, dude.
So many beam weapons.
Yeah, and the whistle is interesting because we've definitely seen that, heard that before.
Totally.
For sure. The high-pitched whistle. Odd. Yeah. Huh.
And the turbine-like sound, I mean, it's not like the chunking of, like, say, the Delphos, Kansas ring-creating UFOs, right, or like the one that those weird cycloptic aliens of Hurrah that, mm-hmm, that I think it was Jose Cantu saw, and mm-hmm, and he heard this like churning, like a broken or like misladen washing machine, I think.
Yeah.
But you do hear turbine sounds occasionally, especially in situations where they're sucking electricity. So it's interesting that instead of dead silent, it's using sound and light to manipulate the environment or travel, or it's just the sound of the technology, but it's certainly using light to apparently make itself buoyant or descend to the ground, and another kind of light to fuck this dude up.
Beam weapon, dude.
Beam weapon.
There it is.
Back to beams. When John next opened his eyes, he found himself sitting in a padded chair in an utterly unfamiliar environment. The large open space was brilliantly illuminated, though John, like scores of other abductees, claimed he could see no sign of the light source. He looked around and assessed that he was in a 12-foot-high, 50-by-50-foot doorless and window-free room that seemed to be littered with strange yet intricate-looking technology and even more bizarre biological entities. It is a fucking carnival. It is something that you would want Guillermo del Toro to shoot immediately.
50 by 50 is pretty big. So
it's pretty big.
Kind of interesting.
John also noticed that he had a bulky helmet strapped to his head that appeared to be made of gold and was attached via a thick cord to a large machine, the purpose of which he would soon discover.
Oh, man. Did he just step into, like, El Topo 3?
Yeah, really,
like, is this,
yeah,
like,
the Jodorowsky now.
Yeah, he definitely, he's currently in Jodorowsky's summer home.
Oh, my, like, God.
Oh, man. Santa Sangre, the musical.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
man. All right. Well.
As he scanned the scene, John noted a huge television-like screen that seemed to cover the entire wall to his right. The screen flipped through a continuous stream of video-like images showing the field outside of the craft and the road beyond in crystal clear detail as if it were happening outside during the day instead of night, which it was. Intriguingly, every time the moving slideshow stopped on John's car, a buzzer would start ringing and the picture would momentarily stop. Like, I guess, like, I don't know, dude's thing, you know, I don't know.
Not like, ours.
Yeah.
Like,
like this field, the stream, this is God's creation. This is the whole universe is to enjoy. This car, that's John's. Don't fuck around. Just leave it as you found it.
Nice.
Despite the fact that he had awoken to find himself literally surrounded by outlandish entities and unfathomable technology, John was not afraid. The reason for this was not because he had been struck by some kind of telepathic emotion dampener of a kind often employed by Greys and their insidious ilk, but simply because he was convinced that this was all a dream from which he would soon wake up. This would be a notion from which the eyewitness would very soon be disabused. This shit ain't a dream. Oh, maybe it is, but he doesn't think so anymore.
All right.
Turning his focus away from the tech toward the amazing creatures milling about the room, John realized that he could delineate four distinct life forms. The most abundant and the creatures who he would soon realize piloted the saucer, which he would in an 18-page booklet he later published dubbed The Leaders, were essentially humanoid in shape, with heads, mouths, and two eyes. But that's where the similarities ended. John described these entities as having egg-shaped heads that came to rounded points at the top. So not like the way a gray would have an egg-shaped head that's mm-hmm. wider at the top.
Right.
The exact opposite.
Like cone heads?
Yeah, you okay. could say that.
Right.
And were covered in a kinky, wiry stubble, the heads that is, that came down on the sides like sideburns before cascading over their extended porpoise-like noses and mouths like an odd mustache.
Oh, man.
So they got muttons, sweet alien muttons, and porpoise mouths. Big old dolphin grills.
All right, weird.
Yeah, it is weird. These beings, of which there were about 25, were slim in physique and clad in green form-fitting suits. John claimed that they communicated with one another, not telepathically, as is so often the case, but in audible voices that sounded like the distinct croaking of tree frogs.
Interesting.
I don't know the difference between tree and swamp frogs. Really? But, you know, I'm sure that's a Google away.
Yeah, no, I'm here for it.
The next group of beings John took note of were the ones that he christened giants. These colossal creatures, two of which were flanking the seat he'd been placed in, not unlike guards, were the most human-like. Standing at least 8 feet tall, these shirtless, brutal-featured humanoids had bald heads and swaths of bristly hair running down their chests, arms, and backs, giving John the impression that they resembled then-current depictions of prehistoric humans or Neanderthals.
Oh, man. Giant,
big old hair cavemen.
Giant proto-humans.
Actually, more like George the Animal Steel. When you see the actual sketches.
Oh, man.
And you should look at them.
That's a callback right there.
Yeah, no, and they're actually wearing tights like a professional wrestler.
Oh, cool. All right.
And they're bulky, heavy-topped. They're George the Animal Steels.
Nice.
Completely. So just Google that if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about because you don't know ancient fucking wrestling and or Ed Wood the movie. If John had previously entertained any notions of fighting his way out of this situation, the look of these hulking figures were more than enough to dissuade him from that course. Far and away, the strangest entities that John could see within what he was now beginning to realize must be the interior of the saucer were a group of 6 to 8, 5 foot tall, bearded, antenna-bearing quasi-crustacean creatures. These crazy critters ambled awkwardly about on clawed flippers similar to those of a sea lion and came equipped with six bone-thin arms that tapered into crab-like claws.
Oh, this is a complete shit show now. Jesus, this is just a nightmare.
Their bodies were covered in greenish, warty lumps. That's a quote. With the exception of their heads, on which featured, for me at least, their most disturbing attribute. Huge, leering, seemingly permanent grins. Though your humble narrator is forced to hold down his bile when describing this particular feature, it would seem that Mr. Womack was less bothered by this characteristic, later writing that he felt that this smiling expression made them appear comical and harmless. But fuck that noise. It's like fucking Mr. Krabs fucked injured cold, and I'm not interested at all.
That's an interesting pairing there.
The more John took in regarding the detail and sheer absurdity of his surroundings, and the more he could feel the tactile reality of what was around him, the more he began to realize that this was anything but a dream. In no time, his once calm feelings were usurped by the very real fear that he had been abducted against his will and that he might at best never see his home again, and at worst become the victim of an unimaginably horrific fate at the hands of these inhuman entities.
Yeah, I mean, if all of a sudden you're knocked out and then you wake up and you're into this shit show, you're like, oh, things are never going to be the same.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm probably going to die here. I would just go to that and be like, yep, I'm dead.
I'm meat. I'm the meat.
I had a good life, and this is how it ends.
It was when he was near the verge of panic that one of the leader-type beings, whom I'll simply refer to as the leader, approached the abductee. He raised a small transistor radio-like device, off the machine that John was hooked up to and spoke into it utilizing the same croaking bark that John had heard earlier. The leader then flipped a switch and turned a dial, and within seconds, the computer inside the bulky machine processed the creature's words and began translating them using a vintage sci-fi artificially mechanical voice, rip Stephen Hawking, which attempted to put him at ease by saying, quote, "We are peaceful. We will not harm you. We are beings with feelings just like you. You are not a prisoner. You are a guest," end quote.
I'm going to call bullshit on that. You knocked him out and you strapped him in with a weird gold helmet, and then you're like doing your creepy fucking voice.
A roofie's not a date. This is not right.
Fucking awful. All right.
At this, the leader extended one of his uncannily large five-fingered hands, offering it in a typically courteous, on Earth at least, gesture of greeting. John, perhaps sensing no other recourse, politely shook its hand. The being then informed John that the golden helmet was necessary for him to register their voices and that it also monitored his thought waves, which is, of course, in no way disturbing.
Yeah, that's some fucking Big
that's
Brother.
That's going to put you to ease. Yeah.
That's some Elon Musk shit right there. Hey, just put this chip in. It's fine. We can transfer thoughts. Like, yeah.
Oh, that's so icky. They had that machine, I don't know, I'm not going to digress too much, but like just a few years ago that was like, oh, if you're thinking of something, we can make a really shitty Xerox image of it.
Oh, like,
the movie The Begotten or something. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. That's a little too close for comfort.
No, stay out of my brain. Yeah, got enough problems. Don't need any more. Get the fuck out of it.
Yeah, it's not your biz. Your biz, whack.
This is my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Do not trespass.
Yep. So golden helmets, reading your thoughts. Through the translator, the being explained, this is a machine built by one of the most advanced races of people in this galaxy. It is capable of translating any language into your language. Also, it is able to reproduce your thought waves and language into my language. This machine is 10,000 years ahead of your knowledge. Attempting to understand how it works is a waste of time. End quote. And fuck you, Earth boy. You can't think shit.
I mean, you know, my iPhone sort of does all that, but, you know.
Yeah, but not in 1975.
I mean, you know, 10,000 years of technology. Thank you, Steve Jobs.
Ooh. Man, our real alien overlord.
Yeah. R.I.P. There he is. Mm. Yeah. All right. Well, don't try to understand it there, Earth boy. You're going to cook your brain.
It was then that, in a move similar to one employed by also one in his now legendary encounter with Carl Higdon.
Hell yeah.
And yes, we have a pod of that. And no, I didn't get the number.
It's on there. You can look for it.
The dolphin-beaked entity offered his reluctant guest a pair of small white pills, which it placed in his hand before motioning for John to swallow. Once again, John did as he was instructed, popping the pills into his mouth, whereupon they immediately began to dissolve as he swallowed them.
Fucking no go, dude. What are you doing?
I know. You gotta like stop.
Jesus.
It's gonna go to a strange place.
Okay.
Though he did not report on whether or not their flavor was offensive, what we do know is that within mere seconds, all of John Womack's fears dissolved as quickly as the pills themselves. His body and everything touching it, including the helmet and chair, felt amazing, and his brain was flooded with joyful thoughts. John suddenly realized he had never been this happy before in his entire life, and now he's addicted to heroin.
Yeah, man, this is a red fucking flag right here, dude.
They
just fucked your serotonin so hard.
Oh, my face feels fucking awesome. This is wicked. He's about to go to a rave, MDMA.
Dude, he's MDMA and ecstasy everywhere.
Everywhere.
Just parachuting it. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's what we're thinking, right? We're on the same page with
it. Yeah, no, I'm thinking it's some kind of like weird, cool, happy, give me a hug type of drug.
This is where I was too.
Okay.
Be prepared for left field.
Yeah.
Sensing that he was finally at ease, the semi-duck-faced entity croaked into the machine. We welcome you aboard our spaceship. You are free to leave anytime you wish. Do you wish to know more about us? Do you have any questions to ask? At that moment, the leader then brought the box close to John's face, and John spoke, stating, "Yes, I welcome the opportunity to learn about your people."
Now it's going to turn into an entire PowerPoint presentation, dude. It's like a timeshare scam. Your whole morning is fucked.
Totally.
Yeah.
Still swimming in the serotonin-like bliss induced by the unknown pills, John had a difficult time focusing on one thing and was suddenly distracted by the sight of a gargantuan plant-like creature waving its tentacled limbs on the other side of the room. In his recent article on this event, The John Womack Abduction, by, of course, the great Cole Harold, he described this scenario, quote, "The plant was kept in a kind of pot and reached almost to the ceiling and appeared to be half animal. The plant bore 8 feet long, black-spotted, octopus-like arms that were devoid of suckers. The plant's trunk was about 3 feet thick, and it had hanging yellow balls of flowers and an orange crown on the top, similar to a giant honeycomb." What a fascinating plant.
It had a crown?
Well, I mean, just something on the top that was like honeycomb shape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Anything on the top is called a crown.
Okay.
It wasn't like it's fucking royalty.
No, I'm like, oh, it's the Burger King burger. the king of burgers. All right. There you go. This thing is fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And it reminds me a little bit like the Madagascar eating people plant.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
holy
yeah.
Holy fuck, I suck today. The audience should just get used to this. I can't speak. I'm going to fall into Yoda-isms nonstop. I don't know why. I'm not hungover. I'm just a little broken, so forgive me.
Dude, it's been a long weekend of UAPs, man.
Yeah, it's true. I've been in high alert all weekend. Okay, so the plant's arms would stretch out and would seem to go after the bearded crabmen whenever they would wander too close to it. One of these beings seemed to be playing a sort of game with the plant as he would approach very close only to retreat before the plant could grab hold.
Oh, this seems dangerous.
Yeah, it seems like you're fucking up. You step, it's like that kind of laughing turns to crying.
Yeah.
Very often.
Wise words from my father-in-law, as a matter of fact.
No doubt.
Too much laughing turns to crying.
John, upon seeing the spectacle, thought, "My God, if only I had a movie camera."
End yeah, quote. You know, or anything.
Sure. Any Polaroid.
Yeah. Whatever. Any kind of camera, whatever.
Reel to reel tape recorder.
Something, yeah, fuck it. An entire production crew, whatever you got to do.
That would be fantastic.
Yep.
After staring at the animate plant for a bit, John's mind wandered back to his sudden and pervasive peacefulness and joy. Cult like, some might say.
Yeah.
He used the device to ask the leader why it was that he felt this way, adding, how was it that he managed to get him aboard the ship without him knowing? You know, that's secondary when you're that giddy.
It's kind of important, though, to be like, so, how'd I get here? Like, who carried me up the fucking stairs?
The leader replied, take a look at the screen on the machine, and you will see how you got on board. We let down a ramp and walked you aboard the ship.
See? Someone carried him. Carry me home tonight.
Exactly. Sure enough, the full wall screen then showed an image of John walking up the ramp with the assistance of the build leaders and walking into the ship. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
The leader continued, quote, your brain was temporarily inactive by the red beam that you saw. A signal in the beam caused you to follow it inside the ship. We gave you an injection which prevented you from becoming fearful and overly excited. An Earth being with a bad heart could die from the shock of your present experience without this injection. We certainly don't want to hurt anyone.
Ooh, it's a lot of...
lots of shots and reluctant walking.
Not a lot of consent. No. Just like, you know, you could have a heart attack. Hope you don't have any heart problems. Give you a couple shots. Walk you up here. Don't worry about it. Human brain, mush, mush. There you go.
There it is. If, at this point, John felt that he understood that his abrupt immersion into bliss was chemically induced, he would find that he was only partially right. Because while the chemicals he had been injected with and fed were certainly responsible for these sensations, it was not because they had somehow modified his brain chemistry. It was due to reasons much more foundational, as these galactic missionaries had to be credited with cleansing John's soul. That's right, I told you the shit would be left field.
Oh boy.
It would be the leader who would explain to his human guest that he had been the recipient of a pharmacologically induced, quote-unquote, scientific exorcism. Yeah. Now we're in the juice.
Okay.
Claiming, quote, "The joy and inner peace you feel now is life in its purest, most perfect state. You are experiencing life completely free of demons for the first time."
Didn't know that was a thing.
Demons exist throughout the universe. We do not fully understand these demons, which invade our minds and cause us to be evil, greedy, selfish, and unhappy. The pill I gave you is an anti-demon pill.
Oh my God.
And it has driven all demons and their influences from your mind, leaving you with nothing but pure joy in your soul.
Oh, all right. I'm thinking of like Thetans and Scientology and like whatever armada it was that blew up the volcano that held the Thetans, which then went out in the universe and infected our souls. That's why with depression. Okay.
I mean, how prevalent was Dianetics in 75? I mean, it was written, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Because I wonder if this dude like read it and is conflating this with a bunch of other shit. I don't know. Yeah. I know we're going to save the diagnostics for the end, but still. Damn.
Yeah, that's okay. That actually, wow, it was published May 9th, 1950?
What the fuck?
Holy shit, is that right?
Wait, I had no idea it was that old.
We're going down a Wikipedia Scientology hole.
Hot damn.
Later defined itself as a religion. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, it says it was publication date was 1950. So I'm sure by the 70s. Yeah, for sure by the 70s.
That's a quarter century later. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it sat and didn't like really do a ton of shit. And then
until the 80s when the late night commercials came out and were fucking lambasting us constantly.
Oh my God.
With the volcano explosions.
Yeah. Dianetics.
All right. So anyway, this might be a factor. It might not. But
okay. Well.
Put a little pin there.
Never take L. Ron Hubbard off the table.
God damn it.
That goofy bastard.
I wish we never had to say that. Nice fucking sailor hat. Welcome to the table, dick.
L. Ron, continue.
The leader would then add, with obvious pride, "The anti-demon pill is our greatest discovery. The anti-demon pill eliminates all forms of hate, jealousy, greed, misery, and wars. It causes a person to be completely happy with just being alive. A person who is demon-free has no need for material possessions to give him a false feeling of security. When the mind is free of demons, only love and joy is left inside." God, I feel like I'm reading a brochure out loud. I feel like I'm reading a cult brochure out loud.
This is definitely some Scientology shit.
And we're not done yet.
All right.
"These demons cause all wars throughout the cosmos." I added that part, but clearly they're space people, so they know.
Cool.
"They cause us to have strong desires to seize the property of others. They cause us to murder, maim, rob, and enslave our brothers and sisters." All right, sexist alien, whatever. "Demons have destroyed the happiness of countless billions of souls. Much research is being done in our galaxy, perhaps the whole universe, on ways to destroy our greatest enemy, the demons. Our greatest problem has always been," it's going to be a shock, "demons." End quote. And they're from our galaxy. Little spoiler alert. So apparently,
all right.
And we're going to find out, I don't know if it'll be in this part of the next, so I'm not going to go ahead. We're going to find out how things kind of work in our galaxy a little bit. But apparently, maybe other galaxies are working on this demon problem too.
Oh,
this
okay.
Universal
this is
problem
a universal
of demons.
Demon issue. Okay.
And though that has a Christian context, or at least an Abrahamic context to those of us that live on Earth, as it should.
Yeah.
Because there's not, I mean, I no, it's not fair because the Hindus have demons and Buddhists have demons.
Yeah, true.
So I suppose nefarious minded entities, we want to give it a religious spin, but the idea of, you know, infectively psychic evil beings that that want to do ill shit and want to like corrupt the living, whatever species they may be or from whatever planet they may be from, to and force them to do vile stuff because I don't know, they eat bad karma or something. The idea that that might be a universal thing beyond Earth, considering it is essentially a universal thing on Earth, I suppose is plausible. Even though I want to poo-poo it instantly and it makes me cringe, the idea of mixing theology. I mean, unless you're with the whatever the Uranians or whatever. Do you remember that weird UFO cult? Not the ones where I think they all died, but the Uranians. I don't I don't even remember. I'm not going to go on and on about that. But they had like an Academy of Sciences and they had like this how-to video. And Uriel was their like elderly woman who looked like a beauty pageant throwaway with her crown and her scepter.
Oh, yes, I do.
Unitarians? I don't know. I'm fucking shit up now.
You know what? It's not Heaven's Gate. We know that. It's not Heaven's Gate.
I do have a soft spot for space cults.
All right, yeah.
Where you don't die or castrate yourself.
I say castration and death.
Or support Nike. Not that I have a beef with Nike.
I was going to say I'm a big supporter.
No, I don't have a real beef with that. In principle, it's interesting, though I cringe at it, but this is what seems to be going on here, and our greatest problem has always been, to quote the leader, demons.
Ah, the space demons.
The leader then elaborated that demons were not just products of New Age hooey or simple human psychology, but real flesh and blood fiends, quote, demons are real and not just states of mind, as most people think. They are not visible to the eye. But they do exist on a higher plane of living. Demons are able to enter and leave the mind at will. That's not comforting.
No.
You could say that. This is great. This is great where it goes to. He continues. We have photographed them with special cameras and studied their habit. We were able to develop a chemical which demons cannot tolerate. Fucking special cameras and special chemicals.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
The pill is not a mind-altering drug. It is not that simple, and it does not work that way. And then he changes text completely, mid-thought. Please accept my apology for the trickery we used to get you aboard the ship.
Well, at least he addressed it. He's like, hey, man, sorry, dude. No,
I mean, you got to give him points for that. I mean, it is an abduction, and yeah, it was against his will, and he was scared shitless until you got rid of the Thetans, demons. Yeah. But all that having been said, at this point, their interaction plays like a fucking... like an acid-induced, Jodorowsky-directed version of My Dinner with Andre.
Yes.
It is going to be a conversation, and it's going to be both mundane and weird.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And we're only in the first part.
Nice. Strap in, folks. Here we go.
Not offended by the ruse, or perhaps too high to give a fuck, John replied, that's okay. I'm glad you did it. So the ball of fire was a trick? The entity then replied, yes. And John said, how'd you do it? Oddly, the leader just shook his head, refusing to elaborate.
Space tricks.
Fuck you, man. We'll tell you about fucking the demons. We'll tell you about all this crazy shit. How do we do a fireball? Eat it. All right, eat it, John.
Some David
Space secrets.
Some David Copperfield shit right here.
Fucking Blaine give up his shit? I don't give up my shit.
Oh, fuck.
I love that. Oh. John seemingly all over the place and evidently remembering that he was freshly depossessed added, that was a fascinating story about the demons, and I certainly feel demon free at this time. Can you tell me more about your world? So not only does removing demons, I don't know, like make you feel like bliss and all of these wonderful things, that makes sense. You also start speaking like, I don't know, someone who learned English yesterday,
yeah,
but impeccably well. In a strangely over polite fashion.
I mean, you know, the anti demon pills, man.
Yeah, I guess.
You know,
is that what is responsible for regional accents and slang?
That's why we can't say documentary. You say VOD.
Oh, whatever. Dude, that's walk. Why I've been fucking tripping over literally every other word today.
Walk, yeah, dude.
Oh my dog. God, it's demons. Demons it just in makes your mind. Sense. Where's the pills? I need two of them.
Dude, space demons.
Dissolve them in my mouth. I could stand to be that high. I mean, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Even if I end up speaking like I'm completely fucked up like John is, unfortunately, right. It seems like it's a worthwhile trade to be A, demon free and B, high as fuck.
Yeah. I mean, as long as you can communicate and do your shit and you're not hurting anybody, I think you're okay.
You're solid.
And you're demon free in 93. Consenting adults.
They're all demon free in 23.
There it is. I did it. I made it. I love it. There it is. The Olympics of podcasting.
So proud of you.
Silver medal Mark Storrs.
Can you tell me more about your homeworld, Usel? That's right. Dune references. They've been missing for a while.
There it is.
The leader responded, stating, "I would be delighted to. Watch the screen again and I will show you scenes of my world. Our planet is 40 light years away from your Earth. It is similar to your planet, but larger. Plant life is different, and as you can see, we are different from you in many ways. And we are much different from you in many ways which you cannot see." Cryptic.
Weird.
"Everyone takes the anti-demon pill, and we live in a constant state of joy.
Oh boy.
Your people are faced with countless problems and live a short life. We have none of your common problems. Our people live for hundreds of years. We aboard the ship have not been home for 50 years, and if we started now, it would take us 40 more years to reach our world. So you can see that our journey is more than a lifetime on Earth. A chemical mixed with our food keeps our body cells from aging. There is no disease on our planet."
No.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot of information. Like, if there's a pop quiz right after this, I'm fucked.
Yeah, no, I'm done, man.
Yeah, it's toasty. That's a lot.
For sure.
His curiosity still not sated, John then asked the being, "What do you eat and how are you able to store enough food for such long space trips? Be prepared for more words." The being replied, "Our main food source consists of 8 different kinds of plants, which are then mixed with other chemicals and nutrients. The mixture is processed into small pellets. 6 pellets daily is a normal diet. We have no need for fine foods and fancy dishes." Fucking wow. Bourgeois bitch.
Wow.
"These things are frivolous to us." Of course, I don't know what voice I'm going to do. "These are endless selection of foods." You know, I don't know.
Oh, Jesus H. Right.
Yeah. No, I want to do like something fancy, but I don't have a fancy voice in my repertoire.
The 6 pellets a day is a normal diet.
All right. Of course, there's an... No, I can't do
it. Yeah, let's just do it normal.
God damn it.
It's okay. It's we are not the master of language.
No, we're not the master of anything.
Nope.
Christ, I mean masturbation. Boom.
Oh, hey, hey.
"Of course, there is an endless selection of food sources on our planet and other planets for those who want variety. So I guess you can go off your 6 pellet a day fucking diet. But ordinarily, we stay with our basic diet. We do not eat meat of any kind. The pellets of food, which is our basic diet, can be stored indefinitely." So there it is.
That's kind of, you know, that's a good, you know, system of storing food where you're like, yeah, we got pellets in there and they don't ever go bad.
They never go bad.
No.
6 a day. Enjoy.
Yeah. All right.
Meat free.
It's easy.
In 93.
That's actually really easy. Then again, I guess if you're living in this huge bliss thing, you're not worried about problems like fucking food and shit, you know?
Yeah, if you're in a constant state of bliss, then kind of like me and my constant need to self-medicate, whether it be through, you know, booze or food or whatever, maybe the urge to eat a sizzling steak goes.
Yeah, because all the demons are gone.
You're just happy.
You don't have to, you know... I repair my soul with purchases from Amazon. I fill the holes in my heart with little plastic toys that I buy.
See, that's nice.
Yeah. No, it's not, actually.
No, it's healthier than a lot of other self-destructive ways you
know,
could be doing it.
Sort of, you know.
I mean, it's not meth.
Hey!
So, pluses. Hey, we're working on pluses here. We're demon-infested over here. So now the accent's broken.
Oh, God. There's a plus.
Yeah, there's a plus.
All right.
With your fucking toys. John then moved to galactic geography. Yeah. Asking, quote, "I am curious to know how many planets out there in space are inhabitable. Inhabitable. Do you know?" The being replied, with mayhap a superfluity of detail, which is not shocking.
Okay.
"We know of hundreds of planets in our galaxy which are inhabited by intelligent beings. Because of the great size of our galaxy, known to you as the Milky Way, we have explored only a small part of it. And certainly we are not able to visit other galaxies outside of our own Milky Way. But we believe that at least thousands of planets are inhabited throughout the universe. There are many different varieties of intelligent creatures in our galaxy. On our present journey through space, we rescued..." And this is where it gets interesting. Now you get to see how this cavalcade of characters came about. I'll continue. "We rescued the 3 giants and smaller creatures aboard our ship from certain extinction."
There's 3 of them. I mean.
Certain extinction, though.
Yeah, certain, I guess.
And I guess the menage of repopulate your planet. It's a brand new Adam and Eve.
That's going to get dumb.
I hope they got an Eve.
That's going to get super dumb in a few years right there.
Oh,
good luck.
Well, I mean, if you know, go back to the... You know, the Christian Bible, the Old Testament, you know, the whole Abrahamic faith.
Yeah.
I mean, it started that way a couple times. Adam and Eve. Yeah, sure. After he killed his brother, he went and found people, Neanderthals, breeding with the locals, you know what I mean? Slumming.
Nice.
Well, and then, you know, after Moses, that's another pile of incest.
Well, you know, there
Christ,
it is.
It's fucking... a shit show.
Let's see where it goes.
No wonder we ended up full of demons.
I know, really. Jesus.
Okay. Fucking all three of them.
Oh, my God.
The screen then lit up and began to show what the leader described. Quote, the small planet of the little people was devastated by storms and floods when a huge comet passed too close to it. Sort of like fucking Thundar the Barbarian.
Yep.
Those aboard the ship are the only survivors. So the 6 to 8 Crabulons, that's it.
No, man.
The screen then displayed that these survivors had holed up in what appeared to be an observation station at one of the highest peaks of their planet. The being continued, the giants are what are left from a dying race. These people are the strongest, hardiest beings we know about. They can lift 3,000 pounds, yet conditions became so harsh on their planet that they could not survive. Notice on the screen the size of their sun. Their sun enlarged and the heat became unbearable. Most of the vegetation burned up. Their sun was dying. That is one of the hard realities of the universe. Planets are dying somewhere continuously.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of just, you know, living in the universe is that...
Yeah, supernovas happen.
It's going to die, man.
Suns flare up, comets shoot by.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
You're alive and fucking the universe doesn't care for it.
Yeah, the universe does not give a shit.
Oh, fuck free again.
Yeah.
So here's the thing I find interesting. It is so, like, lofty in its aspirations of... you know, almost theological and at least philosophical, you know, discussions about fighting demons and using chemicals to lessen their, you know, impact and this and that. And then suddenly it's just about like, yeah, obviously we can't travel out of this galaxy and we have no way of communicating with, say, Andromeda Galaxy or whatever other galaxies they might be aware of. Presumably their astronomy is at least as good as ours.
I would hope,
so they're aware of this shit. I mean, they're aware that there's billions of others, but that, you know, it's like, you know, we only know what's going on here. Let's not be ridiculous. It's not like super telekinetic hyper beings that seem to be capable of basically full on magic.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of like a shifty magic. You know, there's like Las Vegas level magic that like the Greys and the Nordics and the reptoids and whatever seem to be capable of. And this is like shitbag birthday party magic where it's like fireballs that we're not going to tell you about. And like, we can only go so far and we don't really know what the hell's going on with this, but hey, fuck it. And we got pills. We got pills.
Anti-demon pills.
And you know, whatever. Who, you know, anyone that's high enough feels like there's no such thing as demons. They love it.
Yeah, or
all you see is
demons. It's all you see is demons, yeah.
It's true. It depends on what you're high on. I should have qualified.
Yeah, totally.
There's certain kinds of high where the world is perfect and other kinds, not so much.
They're just closing in on you.
Having learned about the other species aboard their craft, the fascinated John, still riding the ethereal high of being demon-free for the first time, would have many more questions for his strange host slash abductor, and their conversation would wind through some of the most significant ever asked and include a fairly harsh critique on the human race. But that, dear Cryptonauties, is some shit we're going to talk about next week.
Oh, Cryptonauties.
That's right.
I like that. There you have it. Womack Weirdos Part 1, the Anti-Demon Brigade. Yeah, this has a really weird bend to it.
There's ick, and there's also a maze.
Yeah, it's an icky maze.
Perfect phrase, nice coin.
The whole thing with this, that they're there to get the demons out and everything, like that, I mean, we mentioned it, but that is very Scientology. Yeah, very like psychological and just really, I don't know, it's icky. It's just really like...
Because it makes you feel, well, because it's wrong. Let's deal with all the ways it's wrong. Like, assuming this happened and assuming it's not made up, or this dude had like a fever dream, or he wasn't high fucking himself on something, or, on, you know, fucked up on moonshine, whatever. If this happened, so much about this is wrong. Abduction is fucking wrong. Reading someone's mind is wrong. Slipping someone fucking pills is de facto wrong. Like, you can go on and on with the things that seem unpleasant about this. And just because, you know, the duck-billed benefactor has got pretty things to say doesn't make any of it okay. And so that's, I think, where a lot of the ick for me comes from. It's like, sure, and you could have the most charming host ever, the most beautiful, you know, eloquent hostess, but if you're strapped to a chair and they're scanning your shit and they've kind of forced you to take pills and they've taken you away by knocking you unconscious from where you are, that's still a bad scene. And you got to take all of the glowing rhetoric with a big old fucking grain of salt, because who knows what their agenda is.
Yeah, and speaking of their agenda, unlike most aliens that we have no clue what they want or why they're here, this guy is very open. He's like, hey, ask me some questions.
Yeah, this 18-page fucking book.
20 questions with the leader. And the guy's very specific. He's like, oh, yeah, no, here's the whole thing with the demons. Here's the planets that we visit. Here's some extinct aliens that we grabbed. The giants and the craboids and the, you know, the weird fucking plant. So the guy, the leader, quote unquote, the alien here, is being very forthcoming.
Except when he's not.
Well, except for with the trick with the fireball, which seems like of all the shit you're going to tell this guy, what does the fireball really matter?
And there's going to be more that we'll play in the next episode where you're going to find out not only that they won't reveal everything, they won't confide in this person, everything, John, but why?
Oh, okay. I got a feeling like it's going to be like an M. Night Shyamalan double demon twist.
I don't know about
that. Is that a possibility?
No, don't expect if you expect unsatisfying Shyamalan, like The Village, you might be right.
Okay.
If you're expecting good Shyamalan, like Signs or, you know, Sixth Sense, give that fucking ghost up right now because I know the whole story.
So just don't.
And by the end of it, you're not going to be saying to yourself, oh my God, I did not see that coming.
All right, so expectations.
The Krabulons were Jesus all the time. I should have known by the beard. That's not happening.
All right. Man, expectations low. There you have it. Kryptonaut Podcast, thank you so very much for joining us. Robert, Patreon shout outs, the good folks that support us over there at patreon.com/kryptonaut podcast. Robert, let's do these shout outs.
Brandon Lemoyne,
thank you. Brandon.
Farmer Boy John,
hell yeah, one word, love it. Farmer Boy, thank you.
Megan Kurtz,
what up, Megan?
Matthias T,
I think it's Matthias T.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think they actually welcome back.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think I remember reading this before.
Yeah, for sure. Yep, definitely.
Maddie T.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
We appreciate it.
Chris Tyner.
Hell yeah, Chris.
Clarence Barr.
What up, Clarence?
Vane Magpie.
Returning again as well.
Yeah, no, remember that conceited fuck. Yes. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Just playing on your name.
Nice.
Thank you for coming back.
Yes. Yeah, thank you all for your continued monthly support over there. Again, that is patreon.com/kryptonautpodcast. $1 is the one bonus audio and the shout out. The $5 is the 4 bonus audio and the shout out. And they both get you access to the Discord server, which, again, over the weekend with the UAP flap that we had going on here was pretty hype.
People I believe that.
Yep.
Yeah.
My dude, literal Jesus over there, one of the admins, was keeping me up to date, sending me emails and such shit and links and everything. So thank you to everyone supporting us over there. We got some merch, Robert. Hellerspace.com brings you to our T public shop, and kryptonautmerch.com brings you to our crowd made shop there. Merch is there, man. It's a weird time of the year. The Super Bowl's over. We're kind of like here. It's kind of spring for some reason this week. I'm not really sure why, but then it's going to be a deep fucking freeze.
It will be.
So we're shutting it down. That's all we're doing. We're just going into shutdown mode. We're going to keep our hoodies out. We're going to keep our shirts nice and clean and folded properly.
Are we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, you don't know me
no,
very
we
well.
We are. Well,
yeah, that's not what happened.
I will.
They come fresh from the dryer, end up in a box or a drawer, and then on
oh,
my
no,
ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why would I fucking fold shit? Jesus Christ. All I wear is t-shirts. And
yeah, I'm trying to fold my laundry.
You
to
have
keep
dress
my,
slacks?
Trying to,
what
like,
the fuck?
Keep my shit together. Do I have dress slacks?
Yeah, I don't understand. Why?
I do have dress slacks, yeah.
Why do you need to be fancy and fold all your shit?
Organization is important.
Okay.
Kind of how you keep your shit together. Do you make your bed? Because I sure as fuck do.
Fuck, Jesus. Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Were you born in the military? The fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, no. I wake up every morning and when...
Do you mark stores of the Navy when I'm not watching you?
My wife and I do it together. It's hilarious.
All right. Well, it's kind of adorable.
Because I hate how she does it and she hates how I do it.
Oh, my God. So instead of it being the sweet, adorable couple thing, you guys are like... Bed make fighting?
Pretty much. Yeah, I have a way of doing it. She has a way of doing it. Her way, honestly, is better and it looks cooler. She has the folds and everything. And I'm fuck those folds. I just want my pillows to look straight for the morning.
Oh.
Yeah, God there it bless. Is. That's probably
glad a little... you found each other.
Yeah, there you go. looks like we made it. So yeah, all the instas and the Twitters and the Facebook, son of a bitch, we're there doing our thing, send us DMs and whatnots and
do it.
Check us out over there. And yeah, that's it. That's all of the right? That's everything.
As far as I know.
No,
yeah, I think you covered it. I zoned out a little there, but I think you got it.
You know what's weird is like I have it down pat, but I'll do it. But I zone
it's
out.
It's autopilot.
I zone while I do it. So then when I'm done, I'm like, did I say anything? I have no clue.
You did. You say it accurately.
Okay, yeah.
I'll start monitoring better because I'm sort of like you. Like, I know you know how to drive to work, and I'm your friend that you pick up to take to work, and I'm just like, yeah, la, la, la. It's just the way.
Just the muscle memory?
Yeah. Complete muscle memory.
Well, you know, when you're 279 episodes in.
Ain't that a something?
That muscle memory just kicks in and you're on autopilot.
Yeah, 279 in and I still can't speak fucking English.
It's okay, man. It
phenomenal.
Happens. Don't worry. It happens. It happens to all of us. There it is. Thank y'all so very much. And we're talking to you soon.
Make your beds, bitches.
Keep your eyes to the sky.
Wow. Do
for
it.
For more UAP shit happening, because there's a good goddamn chance that by the time we put this out, there will be more shit getting shot down.
That stands to reason.
Yeah. So we'll see. You know, maybe next week we'll have more, you know, UAP talk. Who knows?
I mean, it would be cool if it's cool. I mean, it's not like apocalyptic and or World War III, which is still apocalyptic. So, yeah.
Fuck. You know.
I mean, as long as it's dope UAP shit.
Aliens, aliens or World War III, you're like, fuck.
I know. I guess aliens, unless they're going to eat us.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still have that like 80s kid fear of nuclear war.
Yeah, they're both,
I don't want that.
Fuck us no matter what.
Maybe not. I could be a pet. Like one of those fat cats that is just well fed.
Selling out already.
Occasionally bred. Yeah, I could live with that.
Occasionally bred.
Yeah, and fucking give me fucking pet cable, whatever. I'm good.
Oh, just give Rob a little tug and rub and he's all good to go.
Some nookie, some fucking, some groping. That's it. Nookie, grope. Jesus Christ, I meant food.
Oh, Jesus. All right there, Limp Bizkit.
What's up, Freud?
We'll be talking to you.
Oh, peace. Boy, I'm a scumbag.
Peace.